Well, it seems as if we have visited this passage of Scripture often over the past several weeks, and not necessarily preaching from the entirety of Acts chapter number 20, but referencing several portions of that which is before us in this particular passage of Scripture. And it is a powerful passage of Scripture. It's a passage in Scripture in which, as we were preaching and teaching through the book of Ephesians, we often referenced throughout 2019 as being a passage of Scripture in which the Apostle Paul would meet with the church leaders of Ephesus and share some truth with them, share testimony with them. And this evening, as we look at the passage, I'm not going to look at the entirety of it and pick a few things here, but looking at Acts 20:20, as you see in the bulletin, I'm kind of playing on the year 2020. We're in 2020, and it's hard to believe, by the way, that we're in 2020. I know that a number of years ago, probably for many of us, 2020 seemed to be far off somewhere in distant land. And now here we are in 2020, and it seems to have come upon us relatively quickly, at least from my perspective. We think about 2020, a lot of times there's been a lot of play on words already leading into this year. I've seen many things come across my desk from a number of different organizations about in 2020 having 2020 vision. And having that perspective, I guess it's some kind of a marketing thing, and they're playing on that. And I've seen many things that have come across my desk. The reality is that some of us still have 20/20 vision, physically speaking. Some need some corrective lenses to help us with that vision. Maybe at some point we had 20/20 vision. I actually did a little bit of research to understand what that means and how that works and all of that sort of thing. And I found out this: if the only letter you can see on the chart is the E, that means you have 20/200 vision and you are legally blind. I am thankful that I can see more than the E, amen, and for you as well. And typically, I'm thankful I still have, my father-in-law kept talking about at the age 40 that his eyesight started to go bad, and I'm knocking on the door, and so I told him after the message on New Year's Eve, I said, thank you for the reminder that soon I'll be wearing glasses. I appreciate that. But the reality is I've been thankful and blessed to have good eyesight, and when I go to get my vision checked, I typically just say, can I read that second to bottom line and just get this thing over with? I know that that won't always be the case. And so we understand from a vision perspective the way in which that thing works, but biblically speaking, we can understand the importance of spiritual vision and having vision. And as I considered that, I thought about 2020, and the Lord impressed upon my heart this verse of Scripture from the book of Acts in the 20th chapter and in the 20th verse. As the Apostle Paul is speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, I'm going to pick it up so that we're in context in verse number 17. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church in verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Notice what he says in verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I mentioned this verse this morning, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. As we look at the passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to deal with the entirety of the passage this evening, but we notice in verse number 20 that Paul makes this declaration, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." He then shares with them, reminds them what it was that he taught them, as he says in verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What did he testify? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching the gospel. In verse number 26, he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men." Why? He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." What a testimony. Amen? I mean, what an opportunity for the Apostle Paul. Now, understand, the reason why I wanted to read all of it was that in verse number 17, he called for them to come. In verse number 18, they came, and he started the whole passage by saying, "Ye know." What he was saying was not just him tooting his own horn and patting himself on the back. There was proof to that which he was declaring, and he was seeking to encourage them with regard to the reminder of his own ministry among them. We understand that the Apostle Paul, often as he would minister and as he was speaking, he wanted others to see in him. He did not want to be in a position where he was simply testifying and teaching somebody to do something, but he says, "I want you to see in me what you heard me teach, you've seen me live." He told the believers in Philippi in Philippians chapter number 4, he said this, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And as we look here, we find the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. I believe that he's sharing here a vision that he had personally. The Apostle Paul, not a vision as in seeing something, but his desire to see and to make Christ known. Notice what he said in verse number 20, "I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." Can I tell you this evening that the most profitable thing that we can give anybody is the truth of the gospel? It is the absolute most powerful truth that exists upon earth that we can declare, and we have the privilege of declaring this truth. And we think about the profitability of the Word of God. We understand that in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, as the Apostle Paul would be writing to Timothy, and he says in verse number 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Word of God is profitable. The gospel of Jesus Christ is profitable. And here Paul is saying, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." See, the Apostle Paul understood this reality, that he knew something that was profitable for other people to know. Amen? And he knew that they did not know, and therefore he understood, he owned the responsibility to make that known, to make Christ known. He says this, "I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Notice what he says in verse number 31. He says, "Therefore watch and remember." See, remember he said, "Ye know," in verse number 18. Now he's saying, remember, again, he's going to wrap up and talk about those 3 years of ministry that he spent in Ephesus. He said that by the space of 3 years, notice, "I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Let me ask you this. Did everyone that Paul gave this message to turn in repentance? No. There were some in Ephesus that didn't like Paul. Amen? There were some in Ephesus that didn't like the believers in Ephesus. Remember, Paul, as we studied the book of Ephesians over the course of the last calendar year, remember the Apostle Paul is talking to them about some of that which they would suffer and endure. Why? Because there's some that oppose the truth of the gospel. And Paul is not concerned so much with the response, but with the responsibility that he had. He says, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What caused the Apostle Paul to take this perspective where he says, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears? He knew that it was profitable. He knew that the message that he was entrusted with was a profitable, powerful message, a life-changing message. How did he know that? He experienced it. Amen? The Apostle Paul, he was not Paul, he was Saul. And as we would consider the testimony in Acts chapter 9, I read this morning, as we used it as an example of our message this morning, the first martyr there, Stephen, and we found how that as he was stoned to death, that they laid his clothes down at a young man's feet named Saul. If you read chapter number 8 of the book of Acts, you find that the persecution intensified, and Saul was dealing with that conviction that was upon him because all that had taken place by going and seeking to imprison more and to persecute more. In chapter number 9, it reaches its pinnacle, if you will, and he's on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him. And he says, Saul, Saul. And you think about the response of Saul. He says, who art thou, Lord? And then he says this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We find that Saul met the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was forever changed. He understood the power of the gospel. In fact, he would declare in Romans chapter number 1, often we quote verse number 16, where the Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But verses 14 and 15 are of utmost importance in Romans chapter number 1, when the Apostle Paul said this. There are three statements that Paul makes in those three verses of Scripture. In Romans 1 and verse number 14, notice how he identifies himself. I am debtor. I am debtor. Notice, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, he's saying, I am indebted. Why? I've been entrusted with this message. I've been given the truth of the gospel. I have something that is profitable for you. I'm indebted. And we find that his understanding and his perspective, his vision, if you will, moved him to take that message and to declare it and to proclaim it and to ensure that each individual that he came in contact with, that he would, with the help of God, seek to make Christ known. Number two, in Romans 1 and verse number 15, he says, I am ready. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Have you ever been in a position where you weren't ready for something? Something happens, you said, I wasn't ready for that. I shared with someone in my office this afternoon, I wasn't preparing for surgery the first week of 2020. It just wasn't on my calendar, not something I was planning to do. I was not ready for that. But it happened. I had to deal with it. But sometimes we get caught off guard. We aren't ready for something. Can I tell you this evening that there have been times in my own life, as I'd be transparent with you, that I wasn't ready to share the gospel with someone. And I missed the opportunity. I missed it. I wasn't ready. I wasn't in the proper mindset. I wasn't thinking about it. There was maybe a statement that came up, a door that God opened, and I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it, and I wasn't ready, and I missed it. Have you ever been there? And you leave from that place, and if your personality is like mine, you leave kind of kicking yourself saying, what was I thinking? Why didn't I say something? And I just have to conclude, I wasn't ready. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't ready. But Paul says, I'm ready. For as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then he says, not only am I debtor, not only am I ready, but verse number 16, I'm not ashamed. I hope this evening you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ or the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, I understand that we can get into the midst of certain people that would seek to criticize and to look down at us because of our beliefs, but we ought to never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Holly told me this last night. I wasn't planning to use this example tonight, but Holly gave out a gospel tract this past week. I've never had this happen to me before. As far as I know, Holly's never had it happen to her before, and I don't know that many of you probably have. She was at a local grocery store right here in Fairfax. She checked out. She said, could I give you something to read? It's an invitation to our church. It talks about the Lord. The middle-aged man took it and said, rip, rip, rip. Throw it away. I've never had that happen. I've had people tell me they're not interested. I've had people, you know, not want to take it, but just rip it right in front of your face. The first thought that came to my mind last night when Holly shared that with me was a thought not of anger, but of sadness. That man's going to stand before God one day. We don't need to be ashamed of what we believe. Amen? I am persuaded, is what Paul said. I was talking to somebody yesterday morning, and they were all over the place about just kind of belief is some kind of relative thing, or truth is some kind of relative thing. That's nonsense. Truth is truth. And we don't have to be ashamed about what we believe. We must simply stand upon the truth of God's word. And if someone rejects it, that's not our concern. They're answering for that. But you know what we answer for? Is whether we give it. That's what I'm convicted of. That's what I'm convinced of as we understand the vision that Paul had, as it's mentioned here in the book of Acts in the 20th chapter, and we see how that understanding of this is profitable for you, and because I understand the profitability of the message that's been entrusted to me, therefore I ceased not to warn. Therefore, I came, and here's what I did. He declares, I am pure from the blood of all men. And he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What a wonderful testimony. I want you to go back to the book of Psalms, if you will, in Psalm chapter number 40. Psalm 40, and I want you to look at an example here. We've mentioned the example of Paul here in Acts chapter number 20. I want you to look in Psalm 40. We understand that many of the Psalms dealing with David, Psalms of David, and certainly applicable to the life of David, but there's also some messianic prophecies within the Psalms and the ways in which much of those, the contents of these Psalms and some of the references point to and deal with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that part of what we're going to look at this evening in Psalm 40 and verses 9 and 10, David no doubt was in a position where he was able to declare this, but we see the fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry as well, and we'll look at some of the gospel accounts to testify of that. We know how the Psalm, many of us are familiar with the beginning of Psalm 40. The beginning of Psalm 40, the psalmist David, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I'm thankful for salvation, aren't you? I'm thankful that God changed my life. He saved my life. And we see the testimony in these first few verses of Psalm 40, a passage in which we're very familiar with. But I want to focus for just a few minutes on what is said in verses 9 and 10. Notice the statements that are made, the actions that are taken by the psalmist. In verse number 9, notice he says, I have preached. What? I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Notice, lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. So there's two actions in verse number 9. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. He says, I have not refrained my lips. Oh, this evening, I wish that I could tell you that I have done this the way that the psalmist is declaring. But to be transparent with you, there are times that I have refrained my lips. There are times that I have not opened my mouth. There are times that I did not declare the greatness of my God. And we find in verse number 10, it says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I didn't keep it to myself. I want to make it known. He says in verse number 10, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Notice, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I wonder this evening, could we echo the words of the psalmist here in Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10? Could we, with a clear conscience, say what Paul said in Acts 20 with regard to his ministry in Ephesus? Could we say what the psalmist says, I have preached, I have not refrained my lips, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And I understand, I'll preface my statement by saying this, I understand that my belief is not a religion, it's a relationship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people that say, I'll talk to people, knock on people's door, I'm not much in religion, and I'll say, neither am I. And they think, it kind of throws them off a little bit because they think, well, you're just talking about a church and it's religion. And I tell them it's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But someone said this, and I want to preface what I just, or preface this statement with what I just said, but somebody made this statement with regard to biblical Christianity, and they used the word religion, and I'm just quoting what they said, but they said this: biblical Christianity is not a closed-mouth religion. And what they meant by that, again, I understand it's a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't keep it to ourselves. It's not something that we have experienced what Jesus has done for me and how he's changed my life and how he's revealed himself to me. No, no, that message, yes, was profitable for me, but it's profitable for others, and I must go and declare that message. And we find here in the text of Scripture in Psalm 40 that some of the statements that are made with regard to the declaration and the making known of the character of our God. Listen, aren't you thankful that our God is faithful? I'm so thankful that God is faithful, that we can take Him at His word, that we can trust that what He has said He will do. What a glorious truth. Can you imagine this evening if God was not faithful? Man, it's something you can't even put your mind around. God is faithful. Can I tell you that as we understand, as the Word of God would reveal to us the character and the person of God, that we live in the midst of a society that does not know the God of the Bible. And you know what I'm convinced of this evening? They don't know the God of the Bible because those that know the God of the Bible have not revealed Him to others. How are they going to know unless we tell them? Right? Think about when Paul is there in Athens. He sees all of this idol worship and all the idolatry. He sees that there's an altar to the unknown God. Right? How are they going to know the God of heaven? They don't. Paul says, Him I declare unto you. I'm going to make Him known to you. See, the reality is that we live in the midst of a society that does not know the God of heaven because I believe, listen, the failure is not on the part of the legislation. The failure is not on the part of any government or any party. The failure, we must take responsibility. It rests on us. How shall they know? Or how shall they hear, rather? What does it say? Without a preacher, right? Is that what the Bible says? Romans 10, right? They're not going to hear without a preacher. And so who's going to preach? The person that knows, right? I can't expect someone that doesn't know God to give a proper description and to properly represent who God is. They don't know God. So it must be the people that know who He is. Why was Paul such an effective minister in being able to go into Ephesus, as we use Acts 20 as an example, to be able to make known Christ to those people? Because he knew who Christ was. Right? Does that make sense? And so we find this evening that as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see the declaration, the example here of David, of the psalmist. He said over in Psalm 145 in verse number 6, notice what he mentions here. We understand that he was aware of the greatness of our God. I'm so thankful that our God is great. You know, our future generations, even within our church, but the society in which we live, they need to know that God's great. We serve the God of the universe. They're trying to eliminate God from our thinking and from our society. They're seeking in every position and every way possible to remove references to God and to explain away the acts of God. But can I tell you that the Bible clearly declares, God said, and it was. He created everything. I don't care what the science teachers say. I don't care what the popular magazines are declaring. Our God is the creator. In Psalm 145, David understands the greatness of God. And notice what he says in verse number 6. He says, "And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." I will declare thy greatness. We serve a great God. And he is worthy of our worship, but he's also worthy of being declared. That others would know that he's great. That others would know what he's capable of doing. I think about redemption and what a great truth redemption is and how great it is to have our sins forgiven. The psalmist speaks of, and we'll get over to the Gospels here in just a moment to look at the example there of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the psalmist speaks of this, and I mentioned a little bit this morning, but he says in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Aren't you thankful to be forgiven? There's a people that live in our midst, they just aren't, they don't know what forgiveness even looks like. And we know the God who is ready to pardon, ready to forgive. Go over to the book of Matthew, if you will. Look at the example of Jesus. We'll just look at a couple of references. I won't deal with all of them for sake of time this evening. But in Matthew chapter number 7, I want you to notice, and it's mentioned several times within the gospel accounts and in very similar passages. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, he was teaching and preaching. And he was, we find that there in the book of John, he talks about making known, manifesting God the Father. And we find that as he would teach and as people would assemble themselves together for the purpose of hearing the message that he would teach, that often they would respond in the manner in which we find here in Matthew 7 in verse number 28. And it said this, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings," notice, "the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now, so often as we look at that phrase in verse number 29, we think about the authority of Jesus, and he has all authority, amen? He has all power. He's God. But notice it says, "and not as the scribes." You know, there's some false teachers. There's some people that are propagating a message that's not accurate when lined up to the truth of this book. Amen? They can't teach with the same authority that we can teach with. Why? Because we have the authority of this book. And we have God the Holy Spirit that convinces man of truth. We ought never underestimate the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit when we use his word. That's a work that God does. We find in John 16 that he is to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, of righteousness, speaking of Christ's righteousness. And we find that here, as we would look here, he says that he taught, or the people, as they're astonished at his doctrine, he taught them as one having authority. Can I tell you that we can stand as we teach the truth of God's word, as we stand upon, as Paul stood, and he said, "This is profitable," and he stood upon the truth of the word of God, he could speak and preach with authority. Not as some of those false teachers. I'm thankful for that. And can I tell you this evening, it makes a difference. Again, in the conversation I was having with this gentleman yesterday morning, and we were talking about some things and just some different groups of people that are out there, cults and religious organizations, and bringing up some things about some certain people. And I said, I'm sorry, but it's just hard for me to be interested or willing to follow a group of people that don't even know what they believe. He said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, when they tell you that we really can't be certain that Jesus was born of a virgin, we really can't be certain that he rose bodily from the dead, we really can't be certain that he did any miracles, I'm pretty certain I'm not interested in your message." Because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I can stand on authority and say he was virgin born. Amen? I can stand on authority and say that he rose bodily from the dead. That he did, in fact, die on the cross of Calvary. He didn't go into some unconscious state because of what... No, he died. Amen? He was buried, and he rose in victory. We can be assured of the miracles. We have the authority of the Word of God. That's why we need to know it. We look at this truth. Notice everything I've said and compare it with this truth in 2 Corinthians 4. Many times, and I cut it short with the example of Jesus. We got a video to show here in just a few minutes, but with the example of Jesus, and they said, never man spoke as this man. They were looking and they were listening to the message, and they saw the power and the authority of the message of Jesus. We talked about Paul. He said, I kept back nothing was profitable for you. I went about warning day and night with tears. The psalmist said, I declared, I made known, I didn't conceal. And here in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse number 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What's the next verse? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I don't ever want to be in a place where our gospel would be hid. Amen? It's to be proclaimed. It's to be declared. I've concealed not. I've made known. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. And we see here that he says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I wonder this evening, how thankful you are for the person that was willing to declare the gospel so that you could hear it. Think about that just for a moment. There was someone that determined that they were going to be faithful to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And through a series of someones, for the last 2,000 years, the message has been given to us. Right? And now we have the opportunity to then take that glorious message that's been delivered to us, that delivered us, and make that known to a lost and dying world. Oh, that God would help us. That God would help us this evening to have some spiritual vision, if you will. Some vision corrected, if you will. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here for any of those purposes or causes, but we're here to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that it says that if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves. Aren't you thankful for that? But what do we preach? Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Notice verse number 7, and we'll conclude. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I just wonder this evening, I ask myself the question, really, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anyone else this evening. I'm convicted when I read the testimony of Paul in Acts 20. I'm convicted when I think about Paul being in Ephesus for 3 years. And I know that it was a different time period, and I understand the differences, but that he could say that in those 3 years, how he proclaimed and how he faithfully gave. And I'm convicted, because so often we get distracted with all sorts of other things. And tonight, I just need my vision to be corrected. I need to to have a reminder personally from this passage of Scripture, and I hope that it would help you as well, that we could say the same things that the Apostle Paul said. I'm not going to read them again from Acts 20. I've read them twice already. But I wonder tonight if the Lord would convict you in the way that He's convicted me. Say, Lord, would You help me? You're a great God. You're worthy of my praise. But I need to declare Your greatness. I need to make You known. Because there's a world that needs to know who You are. God, You've entrusted me with that, and I am not going to conceal it. I am not going to hide it. It's profitable, and I'm going to declare it. Let's pray. Father, we